You're watching Food is Medicine TV, where we help you heal from the root cause. We're on the road today at Idon Minerals headquarters in Poway, California, and we're going to be talking about the ABCs of minerals. Minerals are the lifeblood of the human body, not just for humans, for animals too. And we are, as a society, drastically deficient in minerals. Even our animals are. So we're going to talk with CEO, founder, clinical nutritionist, and super passionate mineral expert of Idon Minerals, Rick Wagner.
Lights, camera, action. Okay.
Rick, thanks for having me and welcome to our show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
I'm really impressed with the facility that you have here. And just in talking to you, I mean, this has been a long time coming, for years. We've been talking, people said, oh, you've got to connect with these guys. They're so passionate. I love the fact that you, like me, there's really no separation between who you are and what you do with minerals.
Right.
I mean, tell me why. Where did this passion come from?
This was a long time coming, actually. Mm-hmm. I had different experiences, probably starting at around the age of 19 or 20, all the way through to age 55. And when I was 55 years old, I had been experiencing over that period of time, about the last 10 years, worse and worse pain in my neck.
Mm-hmm.
And a lack of rotational ability. So I could turn my head at the time of age 55, 45 degrees.
Oh,
I could not turn any further without turning my whole body around.
And I'm sure there are so many people watching that are experiencing the same kind of pain.
Oh,
they'll
yes.
think a mineral can solve this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So just out of curiosity, I said, I've got to go see my doctor and find out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I went in, they x-rayed me. They said, well, we can't really see any calcium deposits on your neck, but you do have osteoarthritis.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened, well, the reason they couldn't see any deposits was they were on the top of the vertebrae, not on the edge or the outside notch of each individual vertebrae. So as I would turn, it would grind and pop, and it was awful. So I asked them, what can you do about this? And they said, there is no cure for arthritis.
Surgery for bone spurs?
Surgery, yes. Surgery and or take aspirin for the pain.
Mask it. Nope.
Yes.
This is heal from the root cause stuff
right.
today.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, we don't really know what it, I mean, we know it's calcium, but how did you get it? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
2 months later, I was introduced to a product called Body Essential Silica Gel. It was a German product.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of it before, but one of my employees, at that time I had a mortgage company, one of my employees recommended that I take it because she'd spoken to her neighbor who had found it for her daughter who had alopecia. And as you can see, I don't have any hair on my head. And she said it helped her daughter regrow her hair.
So you started with the silica because you wanted to regrow hair as well?
Right.
And you got the side benefit of mobility returned?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. Long story short, 9 months later,
okay,
all of the pain was gone, full rotation of my neck. And 20 years later or 25 years later, none.
Well, that's why we do what we do. And I say for people that we have no idea how much power and control we have over our health and our experience of life based upon how well we take care of ourselves.
That's right. But we don't know. We don't
that's
really know.
That's what we're
know.
Here for, yes,
right.
is to help people understand, like, whatever they're experiencing, minerals can pretty much help anyone
right.
when they know what minerals they're deficient in and they replace them.
Exactly. This is what really started me on my journey.
Okay.
Was this recognition. And I initially tried to just import the product and sell it. It was too hard. And I got a hold of a chemist that I knew, and we came up with the raw material that is optimal for making our silica supplement.
That was your first supplement? Was that back in 1996?
That was about 1996. 97 is when we developed
All right.
it right in that area. Yes.
This is not your first rodeo. More than two decades later, how many products does Idon have now?
Gosh, now I think we're at 18 individuals or 16 individuals and then five
complexes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I just this morning put the multi-mineral complex in my son's bottle. I was telling the girls before we started. So give just like one more anecdotal story, because before we talked, I think this was before the osteoarthritis.
Right.
You had gotten the flu, You lost your sense of taste and smell.
Yes.
And this happens a lot. We just got a direct message on Instagram yesterday of, I lost my sense of taste. What's that all about? So how did you discover that zinc can bring back your sense of taste?
And this is really a great story. I had the flu. Mm-hmm. And I would get the flu annually prior to really getting into minerals.
You guys resonate with getting the flu annually?
And I would be down. I would be down in bed for a week. Uh-huh. Couldn't do anything. After one bout, I woke up and said, "Oh, I'm feeling better now. I'm going to get out there and start get a meal in my stomach." And I ate. Couldn't taste anything.
And I said, "This is weird." That must have been a horrifying experience.
It was awful. Nor could I smell it. Mm. So my sense of taste and smell had gone, and I couldn't figure it out. In fact, I talked to a good friend of mine that I surf with, and he said, "Oh yeah, it sounds like you have a brain tumor, Rick."
you just said he was a good friend?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Right. All right, keep going.
And so anyway, I said, "No, I don't have a brain tumor. Uh-huh. I'm fine." But yeah.
Thanks for your opinion.
I told my mother about this, and within a couple of days, she sent me this article that she had cut out of the Parade magazine, out of the LA Times. And in the article, it addressed your sense of taste and smell and a lack of zinc. Mm-hmm. And I know now why, but I said, okay, I'm going to go out and I'll buy some zinc. I bought some zinc tablets, mm-hmm. took them for 2 days. Everything came back. All of my sense of taste and smell came back in 2 days with mm-hmm. the zinc. Turns out that what happens is if you have a bout of the flu or any type of a bacterial infection or viral infection, your body uses zinc in huge quantities
to overcome it.
Yes, to maintain your immune system. Mm-hmm. And you can become depleted very quickly. Mm-hmm. And that is what happened. So
it's amazing. And you were also saying that, I mean, you're also a clinical nutritionist, so you've worked with recovering bulimics, that they often, because of what they've been through and purging,
right,
they're very low in zinc, and then they lose their sense of taste as well.
Right.
So if you have any history with eating disorders, you might want to look into
a zinc deficiency. Yes, mm-hmm. yes, that's amazing.
Great.
And then one last story. Actually, there's two other stories. One was at a Club Med one mm-hmm. time, and I had we'd gotten there, and I was all ready to go out. I'd competed in some swim meets and that they had there because I like to swim, and we did a whole lot of things, and I perspired like a banshee. Mm. That night before we went to go to dinner, all of a sudden I just started feeling nauseous. And one of the things that I did not do in the morning when I got up and had breakfast was they had salt in a bowl. Mm-hmm. And you use it as a pinch it, and you know, it's big clumps. And I did not put any salt on my eggs because I thought it would be too salty. Mm-hmm. Bad decision.
That was the first mistake.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I told my wife, "You go to dinner. I'm going to stay here." And I just crawled in bed and I felt really crummy. I woke up in the middle of the night flat on the floor. And she hadn't even come home yet. When by the time she got home, I started thinking about, well, what's going on? Why am I feeling like this? And I remembered an article I read in the National Geographic about salt. And it turns out that sea salt contains every mineral element mm-hmm. that you need, mm-hmm. but primarily your electrolytes, your sodium, your potassium, your magnesium, and your chloride. When she got back, I asked her if she'd go back and get me some salt, some bread, and water. I took the salt. When she came back, ate the salt, ate the bread, drank the water, went back to bed. In the morning, I was fine.
Mm-hmm. We hear that journey.
Yes, it's a burnout of electrolytes. It can be so dangerous that it can kill you.
Yes.
And so that was another link to this whole thing about the minerals. What are they doing? And I was experiencing this, and I was able to connect the dots. And then the very first one that I ever experienced was in college, and I would always get sick every year. And I went to Oregon for 2 years, and my coach turned me on to a nutritionist in college. Mm-hmm. He prescribed some minerals and some vitamins. I took the vitamins, they didn't seem to do much, but once I took the minerals, mm-hmm. my cold went away.
It's pretty magical.
It is magical.
I mean, we like to, as clinicians, we say, oh, don't guess at it, test it, and we like to look at all of the studies, but then the anecdotes are there, and like how you can feel from one second to the next second, literally that quickly with putting a little salt in your water if you feel dizzy or lightheaded, right, to how that's going to help support your electrolyte balance, your adrenal function, and
yes.
So many biochemical processes throughout the human body.
Right.
And you can't overdo it on minerals, because if you take too many, your body is going to excrete them.
There is one thing that you do need to be careful about, and that is taking too much of one and not enough of another that will
like
manage and help.
Yeah, like a complex, yes.
Yes, you need to balance them, but you can take a whole lot if they're balanced.
It's important to understand that every cell in our body depends on minerals to function correctly. The human body must maintain certain levels of minerals, and the level of one mineral is going to affect, as Rick just said, the level of another mineral. It's kind of like a domino effect that happens. They're not just essential to our well-being, but really, guys, to our very existence. And being low or even high, for that matter, on any one mineral or combination thereof can cause some serious cascading domino effects on our health as it relates to our thyroid, our adrenals, our bones, or our immune system. Those are the four major systems that minerals really work to support, as well as our overall cell structure. So I'm glad you're watching this, because everybody needs to know that minerals are the source of everything. Our food supply is dramatically different than it was 100 years ago. You have to eat 3 apples today to get the mineral equivalent of 1 apple from 1940. And this is really drives the point home that we're missing these building blocks of the universe. And we really need to understand where we lie in our mineral deficiency, or lack thereof for some of us. Okay, so Rick explained this to me. You know, there's 84 essential trace minerals. This is why we're putting salt in our water, we just talked about. And you're saying that we take that down to 22 that have been studied and proven, and science accepts that they're essential to human health.
That's correct.
Where's the disparity there? We're missing quite a few.
I believe that it is in, and this is a really interesting point, and that as humans, we have developed a certain level of testing capability. The ability to identify the element in any type of solution, then relate that to the human body. What they've discovered is they've tested all of the mineral elements in a human body, and they've basically identified of the top of all of the elements that we know about, there's about 22 that represent, I would say, 99% of the human body. The other 1% are the other elements.
That we need in light
in
traces.
Very, very small amounts, correct. And they've identified the role that those 22 play, relatively speaking, and I would say we're really just on the cusp of identifying everything that they do in the cells of the body, how they work. Mm. Okay, so from the standpoint of what you supplement with, if you focus on at least getting good amounts of those 22, and then supplementing that with some trace elements like salt, sea salt, found in sea salt, then you should be in good shape.
I understand you're now sourcing high quality salt from the Peruvian mountains.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a new location.
This is magical. Mm. Think about this. We are getting salt out of the earth at 11,000 feet in elevation, and it's very, very comparable to sea salt.
It's excellent. So we're like Himalayan salt, right? So
yes.
We were doing that anyway.
Right.
So now we've got Peruvian salt, and I'm excited to try it. The girls gave me some to take
good,
home.
Oh, good. It's amazing. It really is amazing.
It's great.
Yeah. But think about, how does ocean water get up 11,000 feet?
It doesn't.
I don't know. I have yet to figure it out, and I haven't been able to talk to a geologist that understands it either.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is the Andes of Peru are at the confluence of two tectonic plates.
Okay.
The Pacific plate and the South American plate. And I think that there's a whole lot of rift area going on in there that allows seawater to get somehow pushed up. And then it bubbles out in springs.
Okay, that's fascinating.
Yes, and Incas have used it for thousands of years.
If we were to say epigenetics, and we just kind of describe it as this is the on-off switches of our genetic expression, talk about minerals' role in epigenetics.
You can have all of the epigenetics you want. If you do not have the mineral content in the cell, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter.
But so, if you do have the mineral content, now, like, what's the best that could happen, right?
Oh,
you do have all, like, with for epigenetics, then, and you do have all the mineral content in the cell.
Then you're working the
you're
way
superhero?
You should be. Yes, mm-hmm. and you're able to adapt. And I think that the epigenetics part of it is our adaptability, our ability to change or to deal with change. And so our genetic structure is modifying as we're moving through the evolution of man.
And but, a very scary time to be alive when the soil's depleted, the water's depleted, there's environmental toxins, there's technology, you know, is causing everything. And so this could kind of be our protective suit, so to speak, to make sure we have enough minerals as we keep going and evolving through society.
Correct. And that epigenetics part of it is what allows us to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have to have the right raw materials mm-hmm. for that evolution to take place.
Correct. It is all about the raw materials.
It is.
And that's this, we talk about the food supply. We're not eating the same raw materials that we used to eat 100 years ago. And so this is why, like, supplementation really isn't optional for any of us, right? It really isn't if you want to feel your best.
Right.
As we go forward and try to navigate better quality soil, and we'll talk more about that. Okay, so traditional sources of minerals are going to be your food, plant-based food that grow out of the ground, okay? Good quality water. We're just not drinking good quality water. I mean, that's a huge problem, reverse osmosis water.
Oh, it's really a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So those of you watching, if you're drinking reverse osmosis water, the bare minimum, they've got to put sea salt. Right,
yes.
In every glass of water, but you always want to add back the minerals to reverse osmosis water. Otherwise, you're just effectively kind of rinsing yourself out. You are not delivering hydration into the cell. I want to hear from you, Rick. Why do you feel it's more ideal to do liquid minerals versus a capsule or a tablet?
I think that in answering that question, we want to look back at our original sources of minerals, which mm-hmm. were water, or sea salt, mm-hmm. or plants that grew out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we consumed either of those, particularly the water and the let's say sea salt from ocean water, they would be ionized almost instantly, and or already ionized in the water. And that what that means is the minerals are there in their atomic size.
Mm.
They are ready to be absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
When you eat a plant, you also juice that plant. When you chew it, you're juicing it,
mm-hmm.
turning it into liquid,
mm-hmm.
and the minerals are coming along with it. When they hit your stomach, basically as ions or individual atoms of the minerals, they are absorbed immediately mm-hmm. into the system. Now, let's take a look at a calcium supplement. We are not designed to be able to break down very, very rapidly solid rock. Okay.
It makes sense when you put it that way, right?
Right. Yeah. And so even if you ground it up,
it still has to be processed by the digestive system.
Exactly.
And so you're removing the conversion. And I feel that that is the type of healing we need in today's day and age with so much stress on the system.
Right.
Yes, give the activated
and it's also a time factor. So when you swallow a solid mineral,
mm-hmm.
you have about an hour, maybe an hour and a half of that pill in your stomach acids before it's transferred to your small intestine.
Mm-hmm.
It is only in the presence of the acids that it can be broken down into its atomic size.
And how many of us have not enough stomach acid these days?
They're taking pills. We're taking pills to suppress it.
We are. Yeah, that's a whole other thing. Well, I know you're working on microbiome, and but that's a really big deal.
It's huge.
Gut microbiome's not working, if your stomach acid's not optimized, and things aren't really working,
you're not going to ionize at all.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, you may get a small amount of the element that you take, the calcium pill, let's say. After that, it goes into your GI tract, whereby there are no enzymes manufactured mm-hmm. in the human body to continue to break down these elements.
Yeah.
And they're in an alkaline state now rather than an acidic state. The acids are gone. Nothing is going to happen. It's going to go right through you.
So the obstacles to achieving appropriate tissue mineral intake and balance is depleted soil. From overproducing singular crops. That's it. We're only growing soy and corn and right these singular crops here in the U.S. And it's not great because we need biodynamic farming, right?
Not only that, the country was developed as farmers moved from the East Coast to the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And they kept moving, though, about every 7 years. So they would go out, they would find a piece of land that looked good, and they would plow it, and they would plant. They would grow one crop mm-hmm. for about 6 or 7 years, and then it would stop growing because it had used up all of the minerals that that particular plant used to grow and thrive and defend itself. After that, it couldn't. There are three things that will keep that plant growing and looking like the plant, and that is phosphorus, nitrogen, and potassium, mm-hmm. NPK. Then what happens is if you only give a plant NPK and it has already depleted the balance of the other trace elements that it needs out of the soil, it can't defend itself. Mm-hmm. The bugs come in. So then we need herbicides, pesticides, and fungicides to keep them healthy. Mm-hmm. And so
it's a perfect storm of how we screwed up our food supply.
Yes, that's the status.
And human health, because I don't know if you know this, but I wrote a book on fertility. And you're talking about the soil no longer being fertile. This starts to really happen with the onset of genetically modified foods and singular crops in the late 90s. And so since then, the infertility of the soil has led to the infertility of human beings. It's 11 times the number of fertility clinics as there was before we started depleting the mineral supply of the soil.
That's a direct relationship.
Yeah. Of course, there's a direct relationship. So, okay, so we know that the use of pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, because the plants aren't strong enough to develop themselves and to protect themselves. But then we have excessively processed foods.
Yes.
Overcooked foods. You know, your digestive health is poor. You need to cook your food to activate the nutrients, but overcooked. And then the consumption of refined sugar. Grains, which I know you can talk about till the cows come home, packaged foods, and then we were talking about, kind of before we started, this excessive toxic overload, this layer of toxicity, environmental toxicity, plasticides, you know, mold, all of these things, and heavy metals is something that I work with clinically a lot. I know you do too.
Like
the amalgams, which we're not doing anymore, but they're in there. For decades.
We still are doing amalgams.
What?
Oh, yes.
No one in our world's doing amalgams. They should be completely
illegal. No.
Illegal.
If you could go to, I would say, one out of two still is doing amalgams. In fact, one of my relatives took their young child to the dentist, and she had a decayed baby tooth. This dentist wanted to drill out the decay and put in an amalgam in a baby tooth that was going to be lost anyway very shortly. And this was maybe a year ago. No, they're still doing it. In fact,
that's common for another day.
Oh, yes, yeah, it's scary.
Yeah, that's horrific.
Yes.
In a baby tooth.
Well, and just talking about mercury as an aside, because I've been through mercury like you wouldn't believe. But
toxicity?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I had 14 amalgams, all removed incorrectly.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That must have made you very sick.
Well, it made me very sick, but it was a blessing in disguise because it really focused me on the minerals and how to get these out and why some are bad and some are good, mm-hmm. and then how to get rid of them and how to clean yourself up. We could go on and on about the mercury, but just to say it is very, very important that people understand how deadly it really is.
Yes.
It's comparable with sugar.
Worse, I think. Yeah, it's and then vaccines. You're also getting heavy metals from particular vaccines.
Yes.
One thing I've been working a lot in my practice is physical, mental, and emotional stress leaches minerals, like you wouldn't believe.
Hugely.
And who doesn't experience stress in our modern world? And so what I want to ask you now is, what do you believe our daily mineral requirements should be in today's modern world? How are we to take the practical application of what we're talking about with this theory into our bodies? People watching, what should they do?
What we did was, and this was early on after we developed the silica, was we put together a multiple mineral. Mm-hmm. And the first thing in that multiple mineral is it's got a lot of silica. Then what we did was we incorporated, I think, I think, 10 other elements in much larger amounts than you would normally get in, let's say, drinking water or mm-hmm. food. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, at this point, no one really knows how much you need to take in to be optimal. We do offer a hair mineral analysis that is done in Michigan, and then with that, with your results, you get a menu of what to take. Keeping in mind that we've set certain limits or certain doses from our liquids versus what, and they're a lot different than what the National Academy of Sciences has said.
Yes.
We need.
Much higher, right?
Lower.
Oh.
Lower.
Really?
Yes.
Because of the ionic minerals?
Because they're ionic, they're absorbed right away.
Right. Oh, that's great.
And if you look at the recommendations of the National Academy of Science for each of the different elements, they are based on dietary studies of what people ate and then what was in the food that they ate, mm-hmm. number one. But number two is they're based on what you basically chew up and swallow.
Was that food organic? How was it grown? There's a lot of variations.
Only that, does everyone really eat that much, and what did they really eat?
Right.
And then did that amount of element actually get into their cells? So we're almost starting over mm-hmm. from the standpoint of how much do you need and what each individual should get. So we've tried to create a supplement that will address the most significant elements. Mm-hmm. Then what we recommend is incorporating sea salt into your diet to get the balance of the trace elements. Stop eating table salt. Table salt, again, is as bad as sugar. So if you take those two things, plus adding the hair test kit, then you'll get a real good feel for, number one, you'll be getting a good steady supply of all of the elements. Stop drinking RO water and distilled water, mm-hmm. because you're right, they are stripping their body of minerals. Incorporate a good liquid multiple mineral, not from the Great Salt Lake. And then getting a hair mineral analysis. And let's find out what is really going on.
Okay, so on your website, you can order a hair mineral analysis test.
Correct.
You send them the test for free, and they pay the lab directly $100. It's kind of like step one, first base, check your hair. It's the most effective way to check your minerals is through your hair. I also like it for, you know, testing for heavy metals and
yes.
things like that. And then second base, you have to make sure you're supplementing with a good quality multi-mineral to cover all of your bases. Third quality, always have to do the layer of food. Use a good high quality sea salt.
Yes.
Okay. You can do those three steps, right?
It's really easy.
Yeah,
and
the most bang for your buck in terms of how you feel.
Yes.
The bone spurs go away, mobility,
right.
your taste return, whatever it is for you. And there's so many people I've been working with, adrenal dysregulation and thyroid suppression now for the last few years, and minerals are so key to that.
They're everything. Mm-hmm. They're everything.
This has been such a fascinating conversation. I have asked my tribe what they want to know, knowing we're coming in here. You remind me a lot of one of my favorite clinicians, Dr. Jack Tipps. He's my clinical partner in my microbiome programs, and it's just so nice to talk to you. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions.
Okay,
the first is people want to know, when we're talking about minerals, what's the difference between organic and inorganic minerals?
The term organic truly represents the presence of a carbon atom mm-hmm. in whatever it is that you're looking at. It isn't, we've taken that to the next step of, if a plant that's grown is not sprayed with pesticide or herbicide or fungicide, it's organic. Mm-hmm. But from the standpoint of a mineral element, or let's say a solution, mm-hmm. if it contains carbon, it is organic. If it doesn't contain carbon, it's inorganic. When we absorb minerals from water, seawater or other water, it is inorganic. The ions are not bound to carbon. Mm-hmm. If you eat a plant, you are getting an organically sourced mineral element because there will be carbon with it. The plant's mainly, you know, carbon, mainly water, mm-hmm. but it has a lot of carbon in it. So that is truly the only difference. It isn't that it's better or worse, except in the standpoint of, let's say, produce at the store, it's mm-hmm. definitely better to get organic. Mm-hmm. But you can't get inorganic food. It's always got carbon in it anyway.
Okay.
So that's the difference.
All right, break this one down in layman's terms. What's the difference between ionic and colloidal?
That's a really good one. Colloidal means being in perpetual suspension.
Mm-hmm.
So our elements are ionic and they are colloidal.
Okay. And elemental
okay. as well. So the elemental and the ionic means that it's missing an electron on the outside shell, so that it has a propensity to want to bind to another element. That's what ionic means. But it is the atom itself, okay? If it's colloidal, it can still be an atom by itself, and it's just not going to fall out of solution. So seawater is a colloidal solution.
Okay.
You can let seawater just sit forever, and nothing will ever fall out. It will settle out. If it's things settle out, it is not colloidal.
Where do you guys source your ion minerals from?
Our silica is sourced from the southwestern section of the United States, from mm-hmm. silica mines. And silica in nature is quartz. So, and it's processed into a liquid format that then can be utilized for many, many, many different things. Our other minerals are primarily mineral salts that have been developed by chemists over the last couple hundred years, 300 years maybe, and they've been specialized. So you might have a magnesium chloride. We use a magnesium chloride for our magnesium, potassium chloride for potassium. Zinc is zinc sulfate. So these salts are very, very utilizable for making into supplements. And that's where they come from. They're literally derived out of the earth. Our magnesium is derived from the Dead Sea.
Oh, that's wonderful.
In Israel, yeah.
It's amazing, you know, as a clinician, you're only as good as the quality of the formulas you recommend when you're helping someone supplement, mm-hmm. and so we trust your quality implicitly.
When we get our raw materials in, mm-hmm. they are tested for heavy metals so that we know that they are absolutely pure.
Perfect.
Right? And then from there, we then test our finished goods to make sure that the proper amount is in them.
It's really good QC you have.
Yes.
People want to know, why do minerals not have a taste?
And that primarily goes back to the carbon, the presence of carbon. Carbon will give things taste.
Mm.
But now some of our minerals do. Our calcium has a taste. Our iron has a taste. Our magnesium, I think, does have a taste, but they're very, very subtle.
This is such a side question, but zinc. If you are deficient in zinc, going back to the taste, it won't have a taste,
right? That's right.
But if you are not deficient in zinc, you'll taste it,
yes,
correct? That's kind of the easiest test I used to do in private practice,
yes.
with a zinc assay.
Yes.
It's okay, here, take it. And
exactly.
So that's something you can do to right away to find out if you're zinc deficient.
Zinc.
Why don't you guys have to use any preservatives? Because I know there are, you know, some excipients in mainstream minerals, and so you're not using excipients or preservatives.
Again, it goes back to the raw material. Mm-hmm. The raw material is completely inorganic, no carbon in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that presence of carbon which will promote growth.
Got it. Last question for you is an open-ended question of, what are your closing thoughts that people should know about minerals to enhance their health for the rest of their life?
I would say that my own personal experiences over the last 20 years, 25 years, have led me to believe that it is the basis of optimal health.
Mm-hmm.
We must maintain a good level and balance of minerals. So it's not only the amount, but the relationship between them in our systems. And if we do that, we can deal with pretty much everything that comes along. Certainly any bug, any coronavirus or anything else. But we will also not experience the symptoms of aging, I would call them.
We can age more gracefully.
Much more gracefully.
Okay.
Completely less painfully.
Mm-hmm.
No pain. Be able to deal with the obstacles that life gives us.
Yeah, these ever-changing demands of life.
That's right.
Minerals can be your weapon and your guide, really.
They should be mm-hmm. the basis of whatever else you do in the way of supplementation.
Thank you so much. This has been enlightening. I can't wait for part two. Part two is coming soon, the ABCs of minerals, where we're actually going to go through every mineral from A to Z. You've been watching Food is Medicine TV. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll catch you next time.